All right, I want to welcome everybody here to Life Change Church. And we're in the book of Proverbs, chapter 21, verse 28. And we're going to be talking about a cardboard Christian. And this is another one of these in a series of lessons around personal development, if you would, in terms of being the kind of Christian that Christ wants us to be, being closer to Christ. And so we've had multiple lessons on anger. We've had disharmony in the home. We've had pride. We've had other things. And today we're going to talk about a cardboard Christian. And I tried to come up with a different name, and I had plastic Christian, and I've done lessons on plastic Christians and so forth. So we're not going to talk about plastic today. We're going to talk about cardboard Christians. Now, certainly one of the challenges of the book of Proverbs is that the verses inside the book of Proverbs are these little bitty short things, and they have good versus bad contrasted in them, and they look so simple at first look. But as you dig a little deeper and let that word simmer just a little bit in your heart, and then it'll start resonating a little louder and a little louder and a little louder with meaning that you didn't really think about when you first read that verse. And this is what we have in our focus verse today. Now, this is an easy verse to read right on by and just read it and just go on to the next verse and say, yeah, okay, oh, yeah, I understand. But if you do, you're going to miss a great lesson from the Word of God. And the truth is, there really are no ordinary verses in the Word of God. They're all extraordinary, right? So you just have to pause long enough, dig deep enough, meditate long enough for the Holy Spirit to speak to you about what each one of these verses has to say. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to meditate a little bit. We're going to cogitate, and we're going to expound a little bit about what God has to say in this verse. And it really is a wonderful verse. And our focus verse is Proverbs 21, 28. Let me read it to you. A false witness shall perish, but the man that heareth speaketh constantly. Now, do you see how simple that verse is? Do you see how simple that is? Now, I don't know about you, but when I find a verse that has real meaning to me, I will put a star by it in my Bible, or I will highlight it in some way. You guys do that as well? All right, so let me ask you a question. How many of you have this verse starred or highlighted in your Bible? Nobody has. Well, you let me tell you the truth, I didn't have it either until I studied my lesson this week. All right? I didn't either. But I hope by the time we are done today that this verse will mean so much to you that you'll want to put a star beside it in your Bible. All right? So let me start by asking a question. How many of you remember Art Linkletter? Yeah, I got a good enough class here. Art Linkletter, right? Well, I sure do. Jared didn't raise his hand. Well, did you raise your hand back there? Yeah, okay. All right, you remember Art Linkletter. All right. So there's a story about him that I want to tell you today. So Art Linkletter had faced a tragedy in his life, and it literally drove him to his knees. Now, the story doesn't say what the tragedy is. If you go and you read his history, I can pretty well tell you what it was. But it doesn't say what it is, just that it had a great impact on him. Now, he later said that after this tragedy, he was with about a dozen young people in the lobby of a hotel in San Francisco. And he went on to say that this group of young people, they decided to get down on their knees right out there in the middle of the lobby of this hotel and pray. And because he was with them, he said, okay, I'll get down on my knees and with you as well. He said, I looked around and I hoped that no one would recognize me down on my knees. But then he said, you know, I was not down on my knees, but just a second when I no longer really cared what anyone else thought. Because up to that point, I was very self-sufficient. I didn't feel like I needed anybody. Didn't feel like I needed anybody. So here's a man that for 40 years on the television screen and stage had entertained millions of people. He said, I don't think I needed anybody. And then this tragedy happened. And he said, before that, I thought of myself as being a good person. I mean, at times have you heard that from somebody, right? I'm a good person. What do I need God for, right? I'm a good person. But he said, I was, and I want you to listen to this phrase, a cardboard Christian. He called himself a cardboard Christian. And that's the title of our lesson today, a cardboard Christian. And he said, I was a cardboard Christian. That is, I was all facade. There was nothing real in the inside. And then he says, and then I found reality. I found reality. So I want to speak to you today about reality. Because if there's anything that this world is hungering for, it is reality. Now, I want to tell you something. This church or any church will reach people for Christ if they come to our church and they sense reality. They are tired of hypocrisy. Now, they are tired of games. They are tired of rituals. But they are seeking reality. And the great hunger of every man's heart, of every woman's heart, of every boy and every girl is to know Jesus Christ. Not know about Him, but to know Him and have reality. Isn't that right? Not only that, but there is the need of reaching people. Not only is it the hunger, but it is the basic need of the church. In order to evangelize, we must have this bright, shining, and living reality. If we want to bring people to Christ, they've got to see the reality in us and no longer be cardboard Christians. Now, our focus verse today speaks of that subject, and actually it just breaks it right down the middle. It deals with a false witness, and it deals with a faithful witness. It deals with the fatality of a false witness, and it deals with the reality of a faithful witness. Now, I'm going to have a two-part lesson today. You just can't seem to get it right. I'm supposed to have three major points to be orthodox. Today I have two. Yesterday I had five, or last week I had five. I just can't get it right, can I? That's just me. I'm just one of those unorthodox kind of guys. Yeah, whatever I do, yeah, okay. You guys won't complain too much? All right, okay. So we got a two-part lesson today. And the first part is the fatality of a false witness. The fatality of a false witness. Look at what God says about the fatality of a false witness. A false witness shall perish. Well, that's pretty straight to the point, right? That is, it is fatal not to have reality, to be false, to be a phony, to be a cardboard Christian. A false witness shall perish. Now, I want to show you a very sobering passage of Scripture. And I want every church member to really pay attention to this, because one of the devil's favorite ploys is to have you be a member of a church. You see, the devil wants to destroy you and everyone around you. One way that he can do that is for you to be a false witness. A false witness is someone who looks like a Christian, acts like a Christian, talks like a Christian, and they may even believe that they are a Christian. But they're not saved, and they're not born again. You see, Satan is the master deceiver, and he would rather you go to hell from the pews of a church believing that you are a Christian than he had from the gutter of the streets. Here's the sobering part. Jesus tells us this about false witnesses. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. That is, everybody talking about heaven's not going there. What's that saying? You know, you're going to be surprised who's in heaven and who's not in heaven when you get there, right? Because not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, is saved. Not everybody is born again. Now let's read the next two verses of this passage, verses 22 and 23. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So when Jesus says, many will say to me in that day, he's talking about the judgment day. All right? Now remember, we're talking about the fatality of a false witness. And the first thing that we see is that Jesus says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. And see that Jesus is talking about false praying. Right? You're talking to the Lord, so it's praying. So this is false praying. And these are people who knew to pray. They didn't know how to pray, but they knew to pray. And they are seemingly orthodox in their prayer because they call Jesus Lord. And Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. Now, but notice that there's not only false praying, it's compounded. Keep reading from there and see that Jesus tells us there is also false preaching. Jesus says, many of you will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Now, the word prophesy means to stand up and preach with authority. Now, did you know that many people who stand behind the pulpit are lost? They don't know Christ as their personal Savior. Now, I thank God that across America, many preachers do know the Lord Jesus Christ. But the tragedy in our day and in our land are that many who are standing behind the sacred desk that have never been born again. Judas was a preacher. And Jesus said that he would say something like, we have prophesied in thy name. But Judas was lost. Judas was never saved. But not only is there false praying, and not only is there false preaching, but there is also false power. This verse goes on to say, and in thy name have cast out devils. Now, every time in the Bible when you see the word devils, plural, it means demons. There is one devil and many demons. Okay? And this may also be translated as the word demons. And so it could read, in thy name we have exorcised demons, or we have cast out demons in your name, is another way that you could read this verse. Well, did they cast out demons, really? No, but they said they did. They thought they did. But do you know what? Demons are clever. Demons are so diabolical. Demons are so scheming that they will allow you to think that you have cast them out when you really have not. Remember reading in the Bible the story of a man who had an unclean house, and the Bible says he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished, and then goeth he. Well, the house, of course, that he's talking about is the temple of the body. And this man was demonized. And the demon went out, and the Bible says that the demon went out and found some demon friends. And then it goes on and says, and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And so Jesus said, and the last state of that man is even worse than the first. And that's in Matthew 12:44 and 45. Now, many times a demon will appear to cooperate. Many times he'll let someone have some semblance of false power. Now, why would he do that? because he wants people to follow this person who is a false witness. You know, he's trying to get a false following and deceive many by his actions. How many people are deceived by false power? And not everything that you see coming through the television or social media, and not everything you see with your own eyes that seems to be miraculous, really is miraculous. You need to pay attention to that. Not everyone who seems to have the power over the devil has power over the devil. Again, the devil is the master deceiver. So we have false praying. Jesus says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. We have false preaching. And they'll say, have we not prophesied in thy name? And then we have false power, and in thy name cast out demons. And then next, Jesus tells us about those who have false performance when he says, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Now, you probably know somebody like the ones Jesus is talking about. They may be playing an instrument or singing up on the platform of our church. They could be a teacher in one of our Bible study classes. They could be one of the people who works in the sound booth or the video room, running the cameras and making everything work. They may work on the church staff. And they say, look at us. Lord, we did all these things. We tithed. We did it all. We were there every time the church doors were open. But Jesus looks into their heart and tells them, a false witness shall perish. And then he tells them, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now pay attention and notice that Jesus did not say, not that I knew you, and then you lost it. Jesus didn't say that because they never had it. They were never saved. And notice what Jesus said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, it's very important that you understand what Jesus is saying about the works of these people, because they were saying, Lord, look at all these wonderful and righteous things that we have done for you. Yeah, what did Jesus call all of those things? Iniquity. Iniquity. They didn't say we robbed banks and we raped and we abused little children. No, they said we were preaching and praying and working. And Jesus called that iniquity. You see, the Bible teaches that even righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the Lord's sight. Isaiah 64:6, yeah. Yeah, it's in Ephesians. Absolutely, we're saved by grace and not by works. And that's exactly, this kind of stuff is what leads people to believe that they can get to heaven based on their works. And what Jesus says is that even the best of works is iniquity. There's a saying out there, the worst form of human badness is human goodness when that human goodness becomes a substitute for the new birth. I think I put that in your hand out there. The worst form of human badness is human goodness when that human goodness becomes a substitute for the new birth. Jesus calls it iniquity. He said, ye that work iniquity. He also said, a false witness shall perish. And depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Never knew you. There was no reality in those people. They were nothing but a cardboard Christian. So that is the fatality of a false witness. And the consequence of being a cardboard Christian, a false witness, is to be rejected by Jesus and doomed to spend an eternity in hell. So you might ask, well, Brother Keith, how do I know if I am a real Christian? How do I know if I am a faithful witness? Okay, that brings me to our segment. I thought about that while I was doing my lesson. Right? You see, you guys, I knew you were going to ask such a wonderful question. You guys just lead me right into my second point here, okay? All right, so let's look at the second half of our focus first. Proverbs 21:28 says, a false witness shall perish. That's the first half. Second half is, but the man that heareth speaketh constantly. So the fatality of a false witness is found in the first statement, a false witness shall perish. And then the reality of a faithful witness is found in the second half, but the man that heareth speaketh constantly. So here we have the reality of a faithful witness. So now, what are the three marks of a faithful witness? What are the three marks of reality in this thing we call religion to know it's real? So first of all, there must be a listening worship. God says, the man that heareth. This means that no man knows God, no man is real, no man is prepared to serve the Lord until he has first heard the Lord. One of the marks of all true Christians, all reality in spiritual matters, is that you have heard the Lord, the man that heareth. Now notice he's putting the man that heareth in direct opposition to the ones who are false witnesses. Now, what did Jesus say in John chapter 10? The Lord Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, this means that the Lord doesn't know anyone unless they have heard his voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. You cannot be a Christian without hearing the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't mean audibly, but you must hear God. And I'm going to tell you how to hear God in just a moment, but you must hear him. You know, Jesus stood before Pilate, and Pilate tried to engage Jesus in a conversation, in banter, or even in an argument. He wanted Jesus Christ to defend himself, but Jesus Christ would not defend himself to Pilate. But here's what Jesus did say to Pilate, and it's very interesting. John 18:37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. Now to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Heareth my voice. Now listen and pay attention here to what Jesus says, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. That's one of the greatest statements in all of the Bible. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So a faithful witness hears. And what is it that they hear? His voice. And what is his voice? His word. The Bible that we have been given by God, written and inspired by God, those are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole book that we call the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is the voice of the Son of God. And those words tell us that you must hear him. Romans 10:17 says, so faith cometh by what? Hearing. And then hearing by what? The Word of God. The Word of God. Do you want to hear God? Then read that again. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This is the way that you're going to hear God. This book is the way that you're going to hear God. The Bible tells us that when the Lord spoke, universes sprang into existence. It tells us that he upholds everything by the word of his power. It also tells us that there is power in his word. Power for conversion. Power for being born again. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by what? The word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It also tells us there's power for completion. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. It tells us there is power for cleansing. Psalms 119:9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. It tells us there's power for claiming. John 15, 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. It tells us that there's power for conquest. Ephesians 6, 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then it tells us there is power in this book, power for counseling. 2 Timothy 4, 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You want to know what's right? You want to know what's wrong? I had somebody ask me the other day, well, Keith, how do I know what's right and what's wrong? You want to know how to get right and how to stay right? There's power in the Word of God, counsel in the Word of God about what's right, what's wrong, and how to stay right with God. Then it tells us that there is power for communion. Back to John 15, 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. You see, the mark of reality is that you're hearing God. You cannot be a real Christian until you hear from God. You must hear God speak. Now, he may speak through a preacher, but it's not going to be that preacher speaking. It's God speaking. That's the reason that the Apostle Paul said in Acts 5:32, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given them that obey him. Now, if all you hear is me up here talking this morning, then you've not heard a thing. I want to be so full of the Spirit that when I teach, you will hear God. I told you, and you've heard me say in prayer, say, God, I want the Holy Spirit to push me aside and be the one that is speaking here in front of this class. That is my prayer every morning. I want to stand behind the Word of God so that when I open that book, you're hearing God speak, because that is reality. You must hear. A faithful witness must hear the Word of God. So first, there is a listening worship as a mark of a real Christian, as a mark of reality. There is listening worship. And then because there is listening worship, there is a living witness. There is living witness. Now, look at that verse again. The man that heareth does what? Speaketh. Do you hear that? The man that heareth speaketh. Now, we dare not speak for God until we have heard from God. But if we have heard from God, we dare not be silent. Ooh, did I just say that? We dare not be silent. The man that heareth speaketh. We are to speak for the Lord because we have heard the Lord. But we are not to speak for the Lord until we have heard the Lord. And again, that's what's wrong with so many preachers today. They're speaking when they have not been listening. And so what you have is that they're getting things out of their own heart rather than what the Holy Spirit has said. Now, I'm not trying to hold myself up as some grand example, but I do not want to stand before you and simply be dredging up from my own well the things that I know, because nobody wants to listen to that, all right? Do you know what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3? A tremendous statement. For I delivered unto you first all of that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. For I delivered unto you first all that which I also received. He's saying that I'm just passing it through. I'm not the generator, I'm the conduit of this word. I delivered unto you first all that which I also received. That's what Paul said. And then we have the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the example of this. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 26. I have many things to say and judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. Jesus said, what I hear is what I speak. Paul said, what I hear, I speak. You see, this is the difference between a lawyer and a witness. Jesus didn't say, ye shall be my lawyers. Jesus said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. You know what a lawyer does? A lawyer argues a case. Do you know what a witness does? He tells what he has seen and heard. Isn't that right? Yeah. How can you be a witness if you've not seen or heard anything from God? God has not called you to be a lawyer. He has called you to be a witness. And you can't be a witness unless you've heard. The man that heareth speaketh. Now we're talking about reality here. Let me tell you why I know that so many people are phony Christians. Because they never speak. You will never convince me that you have reality if you keep it silent. If you keep it silent. Do you know what the evangelist R.A. Torrey had to say? Listen to this. He said, I would like to know what right any man has to call himself a follower of Jesus Christ if he is not a soul winner. You hear that? I would like to know what right anybody has to call himself a follower of Jesus Christ if he is not a soul winner. How can we claim to follow Christ if his purpose is not our purpose? And what was his purpose? Mark 1:17 said, and Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. If you're not fishing, you're not following. Or else I don't know how to read this verse. Matthew 4:19, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Well, how can any man claim to be a follower of Christ if the purpose of Christ is not his purpose? Listen, the man that heareth speaketh. To hear is to speak. To know him is to say, I cannot be silent. Lee Scarborough, who was the one-time president of Southwestern Seminary, said, to refuse to witness the saving gospel to a lost world day by day is nothing short of high treason. Oh my. It's not just simply that you're missing a blessing. What he's saying is a clenched fist in the face of God. It's rebellion against the commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus Christ, who told us to go ye into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to every creature. That doesn't sound like a suggestion. That's a commandment. God tells us a false witness shall perish, but the man that heareth speaketh. You cannot speak until you hear. You cannot be silent when you hear. You must speak. You must share the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a hallmark of a born-again person. Now, years ago, in the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, there was the pastor then was a Dr. George Truett. Now, he was a pastor before Dr. Criswell came along and so forth. But there was a little girl that came forward in one of his services. And he was just a tender little girl, and we see this all the time with young kids. But she was very young, and she was wanting to be a Christian, and she wanted to be a part of the church. She wanted to be baptized and become a member of the church. And the counselors dealt with her, and because she was so young, they really felt that the little girl was sincere, but they recommended her not to be baptized just yet, that they wait a little while because they wanted to be certain. And so they explained to her. They said, honey, we're glad that you've come to give your heart to Jesus. But we want you to wait a little while before you're baptized. And they watched her, and her little chin began to quiver, and tears were coming down her cheeks. And they said, now, darling, don't cry. It's all right. After a while, you can be baptized and be a member of the church. She said, that's not why I'm crying. It's not because I can't be baptized. She said, I was thinking about my brother. I want him to be saved too. And the deacon heard that. He said, you know, I think we better receive her today. Now, that's the mark of a Christian. That's the mark of reality. Not how you sing, but you have a burden for the souls of others. This little girl had a burden for the soul of her brother. So what right does anybody have to call himself a follower of Jesus Christ if he's not a soul winner? What right? A false witness shall perish. But the man that heareth speaketh. You must hear him. And when you hear him, you cannot keep silent. And one of the ways that I know it is real to me is because I want you to know what is in my heart today. I'm teaching what is in my heart, what God has put there, the words that I have heard from God. Now, here's the third thing. Not only is it a listening worship, that's one mark of reality. Not only a living witness, that's another mark of reality, but a lasting walk. The man that heareth speaketh what? Constantly. That is, he stays with it. He doesn't start up and then give it up. There's a consistency. There is a hallmark of reality in the consistency. Now, we have people who join our churches, and they stay with us for a while, and then they're gone. Now, I'm not talking about someone who comes to our church and then decides to go to another church that preaches the same word. They just like the preacher better or something like that. But I am talking about people who come, hear what we preach and teach. Maybe even they stay for a long time, and then they leave. Well, what's wrong with that? Because there's no reality. There's no reality. They may have joined the church, but there was no reality in them. They may have had a head knowledge, but no reality. And then they go away from us, and some people say, well, they lost their salvation. They did not lose their salvation. You look in 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, and here's the answer. The Bible says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Well, what does that mean? Why do people start and then fall away? They went out from us because they were not of us. Had they been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. Now somebody says, well, I know somebody who was once a Christian and lost his salvation. Nope. The Bible says you don't. You don't know anybody who was ever once a Christian and lost his salvation. You can't show me that anywhere in the Bible. Listen, if you got reality, it's not going to go away. It's going to last. And these people that go away never were saved. There's a saying about this, and it says, the faith that fizzles before the finish had a flaw from the first. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Remember what I was talking about to you about hearing His voice? John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Well, read on about what Jesus says about the salvation that He gives, the real salvation, reality. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. That means you too. You can't pluck yourself out of the Father's hand. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them what kind of life? Eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I am my Father and one. Listen, you don't just have a piece of the rock. You are in the rock. I mean, you are in Jesus Christ. And He is in you. And there is no power in heaven above, hell beneath, or earth present that can take you out of the hand of Jesus Christ. I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. That's the mark of reality. It's going to last. It's real. God will keep you. He will keep you. Now, I'm not saying you can't be saved and stray away. But I am saying that if you are saved, the love of God is like a strong rubber band, and He puts it around you, and you stray away, and He just brings you right back. Isn't that right? I mean to tell you, if you can stray away and the Holy Spirit's not making your life miserable, then you better be checking whether or not you're saved. So He just brings you right back. That's the way it is, because He loves you and He keeps you by His grace and by His power. And what is the mark of a faithful witness? Well, first there is a listening worship. Then there is a living witness. And there is a lasting walk. The man that heareth speaketh constantly. There was a man named Cox, and he was a church member. But he was like some today, and he did not have the assurance of his salvation. And he got tired of playing church, and he got saved. And I mean sure enough saved. Born again saved. And he wrote a song with these words. And I'm not going to sing it to you. I'll save you that. I'll read it to you, but I ain't going to sing it to you, okay? All right. Says, oh, how well do I remember how I doubted day by day, for I did not know for certain that my sins were washed away. When the Spirit tried to tell me I would not the truth receive, I endeavored to be happy and to make myself believe. So I prayed to God in earnest and not caring what folks said. I was hungry for the blessing, my soul, it must be fed. Then at last by faith I touched Him, and like sparks from smitten steel, just so quick salvation reached me. Oh, bless God, I know it's real. But it's real. It's real. Oh, I know it's real. Praise God, the doubts are settled. For I know it's real. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, do you know it's real? Let me ask you that. Do you have that reality in your life? Are you an exclamation point or are you a question mark? Are you a cardboard Christian? If that's true about you, then you're going to perish. I don't care if you're a member of this church, you're going to perish. A false witness shall perish. And Jesus will say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. So have you heard Him? Have you heard Him enough that you want to share Him? And is that the constancy of your life? Are you saved? Amen?
Amen.
Amen.